Matthew chapter number 10. Hope you're ready to go tonight. If you haven't checked out yet, I'm excited about tonight and what the Lord has for us. Matthew chapter 10. Let's all stand together and we'll read a few verses out of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10. Let's begin reading tonight in verse number 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Tonight I want to preach you on this. Remember the birds. Let's pray. My Father, I thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God. And now, Lord, you've laid this on my heart for quite some time. I pray that I'd not be a hindrance, but a help. And I thank you for the Word of God. And I claim its promise and power tonight. And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm amazed in the Bible at all the different animals God uses. I think of the donkeys that God used. And I think of, the lions. I think of the lions with Daniel. I think of the lion with Samson. I think of the lion that slew the man of God. I think of other animals that God used in a very unique way in the Bible. But it's interesting when you look at all of the animals in the Bible, it seems as though that the animals or the kind of animals that God mentions the most are birds. I mean, it's just really unique. You know that God refers to eagles a lot in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40, that's a verse that many people know about. When you're weak, then your strength can be restored like the eagle. Or maybe we like to remind teenagers about when the eagles come and pick out the eyes that mock at his father and mother. But God uses eagles. You'll read in the book of Job, and God mentions ostriches. He also will later on mention partridges. He mentions turtle doves. He mentions pigeons. He mentions ravens. He mentions peacocks. In other places, he will mention owls, vultures, bats, chickens, an animal called a bittern, more like a stork of some sort that would live in the marshes. But he also mentions sparrows. And it's interesting, every time that a sparrow is mentioned in the Bible, it is pointed out how weak and how worthless a sparrow is. I mean, sparrows in the Bible were considered nothing. They were considered, cheap. And I realize there's a difference between the word cheap and inexpensive. Sparrows were both. They were so inexpensive because they were cheap. Cheap doesn't mean not a lot of money. Cheap means worthless. It's like when you go to the $1.25 tree store. You know what I'm talking about. And you pay $1.25 for what ought be a dollar. I have issues, you can tell. And you buy this thing, and it looks so wonderful, and it breaks. And I'm teaching my girls that it's because it's cheap. It was intended to break. Sometimes I think that's why they made it, so that you would spend $1.25 and have fun breaking it. In the Bible, in the culture, sparrows were considered some of the most worthless animals that God created. They were considered nothing. You say, how do you know that? Well, first of all, God mentions how small the sparrow is. He mentions how he sees even the sparrow, almost as if everyone else has overlooked it. No one else pays attention to it. No one else cares, but the God that spoke the sparrow into existence cares about the sparrow. You know, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that the God of heaven, who reached into nothing and pulled out nothing and made something, cares about that something that he made from nothing. I realize that we, as God's creation, are of dust. And I realize that we, like the sparrows, are nothing. I realize that we're from dust, we'll return to dust. I realize that in comparison to all that God has, we truly have nothing worthwhile. But I also realize this. If God looks at what man calls worthless, a sparrow or a human, and God looks at the most worthless of his creatures and calls that worthless sparrow important, then how does God see you? That's pretty amazing. You know, whether you grew up in an incredible home or a tough home, or whether you have been, the word we would use is sheltered, or whether you have seen some of the depravity of man, it is very easy for man today to think of himself as worthless. It is easy for Christians to feel like they're worthless, unfortunately, because of some of the ways that preachers have preached unbiblically. It is easy for children to feel worthless when their parents do not parent biblically. It is easy for quote-unquote friends to feel worthless because of how other quote-unquote friends treat them. And it is easy to feel like no one cares, I have nothing to offer, I am worthless. But know this, what man considers worthless, God considers worthwhile. When you open up both the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, you read about the sparrows. You'll find him also mentioned in Mark, but it's interesting how Matthew versus Luke describes this passage that we read. Both of them are speaking. Now, remember, only one of them was there. Matthew was there, right? Matthew was a disciple. In this passage where Matthew begins to talk about the sparrows, Matthew was there listening to Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to send out the disciples. They're going to go preach. They're going to go cast out devils. God is going to send them out. And before he does, he gives them all kinds of warnings. He tells them about what may happen to them. He tells them about how to handle certain people. He tells them how that they ought not or don't need to fear what man can do unto them, because eternity is worth more than what man could do to you. But then he mentions the sparrows. When you read this passage in Matthew, it's almost like, where did that come from? I mean, sparrows? Why in the world would God point out sparrows? I mean, notice what he's saying. He's talking about eternity when he is in verse number 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, are not two sparrows sold
for a farthing.
You realize what a farthing is, right? It is one of the smallest forms of money in their culture. For one of the most worthless creatures known, not just in that culture, but also in our culture. I mean, a sparrow. 2 for 1. In our modern day culture and terminology, that's like saying,
you can buy 2 for a penny,
essentially. All right, are you with me? This is Matthew. But I want you to see Luke. Turn over to Luke and notice what Luke says in the book of Luke, chapter 12. This is astounding. Now please understand, Luke was not there. I think it's incredible how not only how the Lord chose to preserve Scripture, but also how the Lord chose to pen the Scripture. This is Dr. Luke. All right? Are you with me? This is the one who traveled with Paul. So Luke was not a disciple, yet God uses Luke to pen one of the Gospels. I think that's absolutely amazing. Now, you have Matthew, and what did Matthew say? Matthew, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, Matthew said, Jesus said that 2 sparrows are sold for 1 farthing. Are you with me? Now, go to Luke. I understand Luke wasn't there, but I also understand that the Bible never, ever disagrees with the Bible. Never. Notice what Luke says. Almost an identical passage of Scripture. Notice what he says. Let's go to verse number 5, okay? Chapter 12 of Luke, verse number 5. It sounds very similar to what we read in Matthew. He says, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. All right? He spoke about fear in Matthew. It's almost the same wording, just a little bit different. He says, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Same context that he's speaking of in Matthew. Notice what he says in verse number 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for, what's the next word? 2 farthings. Oh, when I read that, I thought, whoa, that's different. I'm not a mathematician. But I know that Luke and Matthew are not matching up, right? I mean, how many sparrows did Matthew talk about? The answer is 2. How many is Luke talking about? The answer is 5. There's no discrepancy in Scripture. This is not a problem. Bear with me. 2 for 1, 5 for 2, right? You say, what's the difference? I mean, I know that if you buy 2 for 1, then add 2, and it should equal 2. So 2 for 1, 4 for 2, right? Then why would Luke say 5? Are you with me? It doesn't make sense. Why in the world would Luke and Matthew disagree? They're not disagreeing. Not in any way. You say, but it doesn't match up. Here's the point of our Lord Jesus. Jesus is speaking of the worthlessness of a sparrow in the eyes of man. Matthew says 2 for 1. Luke says 5 for 2. Here's what he's saying. You can buy 2 for 1. Or you can buy 4 for 2, and it's so worthless, we'll throw in a 5th free. I'm serious. That's how worthless the sparrow is. It's so worthless that Matthew says, you pay a penny for 2. Or over here, you can pay 2 pennies. You can get 4 sparrows. And who really cares about a sparrow? Here's a 5th one. That's how worthless a sparrow is to man. But notice what God says. God says here in verse number 6, and not one of them is forgotten before God. You see, many times we may have the idea that we have nothing to offer God. We may think that there's no way we could do effectively what God wants us to do because we are worthless in our eyes, in the eyes of others. But know this, my worth is not based on me, but my worth is based upon Jesus. God Himself looks at the fifth sparrow who's thrown in for free and says, I have not forgotten thee. Not forgotten. Not forsaken. God still cares. Hudson Taylor claimed one of these promises within the flyleaf of his Bible, and I have done the same for myself. I'm not forsaken. You know, many times we look at the God of heaven, and when we hear preaching on sin, we get this imagery of a God in heaven who is standing over us with a baseball bat, just waiting for us to sin. But if that were the case, He never would have sent His Son Jesus. That's how much you are worth to Him, because God cares. God cares, and I have worth. God loves me, and I'm not forsaken. You say, but what about all the things I've done? God doesn't change. God's love is still true to me. I used to try to preach harder and do more for God, hoping maybe God would love me just a little bit more. And I realized this, God's love never changes. No matter why my sin or how holy I choose to be by walking with God, God's love never changes. God cares. I'm not forsaken. You know how many times in the Bible that God describes that He is for us? He wants us to succeed. He wants us to go further for Him. And God says, remember the bird. Remember the bird and the God of that bird, that the God of that sparrow, who everybody else says, it's so worthless, that fifth sparrow, he's free. And God says, but what is worthless to you is precious to me. That's amazing. It's amazing that the God of heaven, all throughout the scriptures, describes that His children are precious to Him. You can even focus on just very simply the death of the saints. And what does He say? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. If that's what the Lord thinks of when a saint perishes, what do you think of? Or what do you think He thinks when He looks at a child of God that's just choosing to walk with Him? Or a child of God that strayed from Him, does He not give the picture of leaving the 99 to chase after one? Your estimation of your worth can never come close to where God says your worth truly is. The sparrows fall, and God sees. I mean, notice what He says. If you were to go back to just to verse number 7, at the end He says, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 10, he will say the same thing in verse number 31. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. God cares, and I have worth. Number two, God clothes, and I have wealth. Notice what happens. Let's go to Luke again, chapter 12. Notice what he says in verse number 6. He says, not one of them is forgotten by God. Notice what he says in verse number 24. Consider, here he goes by another bird. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. This sounds interesting, like I've heard it before. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Go on, notice what he says in verse number 28. Now he's talked about the lilies and the flowers. He says, if then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, all ye of little faith? In other words, trust him. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love this. God uses the pictures of the birds again. And he says, not only do I care when maybe even others and even yourself don't. God cares, you have worth. God clothes, and you have wealth. The idea of clothing here would not necessarily be what we put on, but would have the very idea of God supplying all I need. Many times we look at our value and we look at our wealth based on what we have compared to what we do not have. But my wealth is never based on what I hold, but on who holds me. My wealth is always based on Jesus. Jesus promises to give me everything I need. Everything. And he speaks here of just having faith in the God that's already supplied it. I am convinced that in heaven there are storehouses upon storehouses of wealth, as it were, from God. Blessings, answered prayer, power, and everything else he offers based on his son Jesus that we have access to, and yet we have not taken what has been so freely given. I just wonder, why is it that we as God's children are heirs to the throne room of heaven and we live like paupers? You say, you're talking about money. No, I'm talking about how we live. How many times have you been in church and you meet people?
Oh, I'm suffering for Jesus.
That's not what Paul said. Paul praised God that he got to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Say, well, he was hurting.
That wasn't the point. God gave Paul everything Paul needed to please God. God gave Paul everything he needed. And I dare say, if you were to ask Paul, Paul and those that would travel with him were convinced that they were the richest men on the face of the earth. Why? Because they had money? No. I mean, it seems like Paul's so poor that instead of going out and buying a coat, he has somebody bring his coat to him the next time he's traveling through. I think, well, good night, Paul. Paul says, I'm rich. Not because of what I hold, but of who holds me. And get this. You may feel not just like you're worthless, but you may feel like you have nothing to give. You may feel like this summer, I don't know how I could give. I mean, I'm nothing. I don't know how I could give more than what I'm giving. I don't have the personality. I don't have the eloquence. I don't have the words. You don't need that. Jesus gives you everything you need to please Him. He doesn't just care. He clothes. The birds have everything they need. Everything. Who takes care of the birds? God. And I think they're just birds. I mean, have you seen the crows around here? I want to, excuse me, all of you who love animals. I hear some of those crows go, nah, nah. Every morning, about 5:30, some bird comes to the back window of our RV and does this. I just want to pull out my gamma whisper, aim it and go. Nobody'd ever know. He would. I'm not saying don't have dominion. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is God sees when the sparrow falls. You have worth. You have wealth. All based on the God of heaven. But then I want you to see one more thing. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 29. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. That's an interesting way that Matthew says it. It almost sounds like Matthew is saying,
when the sparrow falls, God falls with him.
Just go back. Notice what it says. It says here in verse number 21, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Notice what it says in the book of Luke. In Luke, it says in verse number, let's go to verse number 6, and not one of them is forgotten before God. You say, what's the point? When the sparrow falls, not only does God know, not only does God see, but God is in control. You beg the question,
did God have that sparrow fall? Or did God allow that sparrow to fall?
It doesn't matter. The sparrow fell. And not only did God know, God was there. God was there. You see, it is so easy for us to look at our worth, to look at our wealth, and then to look at our weakness and say, where is God? And God says, I care, I clothe, and I control. He's there. He knows.
Did he allow or did he make it happen?
It doesn't matter. He's there. He is the God that created the sparrow and he's there when the sparrow falls. He's still in control. Doesn't the Bible say when the just man falleth seven times, he riseth up again? Why?
Because a just man is strong.
No, because a just man understands he's weak and he needs a holy God. When Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, and maybe it would be good for us to turn there. Would you turn to, 2 Corinthians chapter 12? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice what God will write in verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For years I have thought this. Well, when I understand that I am weak, and I can do a little but not much, that's when God steps in and makes up the difference. Sorry, that's not what the Bible means here. You see, when Paul writes, when I am weak, the very word weak in this passage does not mean when I have just a little strength. The word weak here means in total and complete weakness. In other words, I have complete inability. Then God shows himself strong. I mean, doesn't he say in John 15,
without me, you can do a little bit.
No. Without me, ye can do nothing. And it's the same thing Paul's saying here. Weak, Paul says, when I am weak. In other words, when I have zero strength. You see, a weak person in our mind has a little bit of strength, doesn't he? He may not be able to lift 250 pounds, but he can at least open a pickle jar. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, when I come to the end of myself, then I come to the beginning of God. The birds, they can do nothing in and of themselves. They cannot feed themselves. They cannot clothe themselves. They cannot care for themselves. A bird cannot heal its own wing. But God says, remember the birds. The fifth sparrow, the one that's thrown in free, God cares and you have worth. Then he reminds us that God clothes and offers me everything I need, my wealth, that I can be rich in and through Christ who strengthens me. And then, God controls, and when I am at my weakest, realizing my complete inability, then God steps in. You say, what's the point? We're worthless, but not to God. We have no wealth except in Christ. And when I am weak, then is he strong. And no matter where you are in life, whether you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, or you think of yourself more lowly than you ought to think, understand this. The birds, God cares, God clothes, and God controls. Understand, I have worth. I am wealthy and I am weak, but he is strong. About a year and a half ago, I was in Murfreesboro. My family and I were going through, let's just say, some tough times. And I was struggling. I was struggling with, why am I dealing with this? Where is my God? Doesn't he care? We had come off the road for Christmas. We were parked in Murfreesboro. And I drove to Walmart the back way down Veterans. A Walmart that, well, usually when I go there, I don't see anybody I know, and I love shopping and never seeing anybody I know. And I remember getting out of my truck, struggling with certain aspects of some of the trials that we were going through. And I'll never forget, as I stepped out of my truck, I said, God, help. I need you. And I closed the door and I walked down the sidewalk on the side of Walmart, and under a very large pine tree, right there, I probably never would have seen it. So I'm convinced it was God that directed my eyes there. There was a small bird. It had not perished very much earlier. I don't know what happened to the bird. I don't know how it got there. I don't know how it perished. But I do know this. It was obvious it had fallen from the tree. And I walked by that bird, and God said, I saw. And I care. And I'm still in control. And although I did not hear with an audible voice, I have come to this realization. I have worth in Christ. I am wealthy from the riches of heaven. And when I am weak, that's when he can step in. Young person, remember, not just the birds, but the God of the birds. My Father, I've done what you've asked me to do. I thank you for the promises that you never change, that nothing goes unnoticed, that you care, and I have worth, that you clothe, and I am wealthy, and that you are in control, and I need to recognize my weakness. May I remember not just the birds, but the God of the birds. In Jesus' precious name I pray.